Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
Here we are once again, episode 62 of the Premier Non-League Podcast with Tackle This Together. We're almost at a full house, but James is off gallivanting round the world once more, and I think we'll have to rename him Phileas Fogg or something, won't we, chaps, I think. But tonight I've got Chris. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. Very well indeed.
Gaz, you all right?
Yeah, good man, you?
And a welcome back from his non-league podcast sabbatical. It's Pete. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. Good to be back.
Good. We've got plenty to crack on with as usual, because so much happens in 2 weeks of us recording. It's crazy stuff. But as we record here on a Monday, in 7 days' time, Maidstone will have kicked off against Coventry City in the FA Cup fifth round, obviously the last non-league club standing in the competition. Last week, the FA announced a new FA Cup deal, didn't they, where it's going to move away from a double terrestrial free-to-air set of channels to TNT and either a BBC or an ITV. We've seen it before where the FA Cup's gone to Sky or it's gone to BT, and they've had a little bit of terrestrial coverage as well. But do we think they should have just waited until they got everything sorted out before they announced the deal last week?
Yeah.
Well, it's just typical of football these days, isn't it? And you can name other sports as well, which has gone away from terrestrial to these pay-per-view channels, subscription channels. I think it's just totally wrong.
I think if you look at other sports, if you look at like BBC, They still have the World Snooker Championship, the UK Snooker. They still, and ITV obviously still like has the Grand National, the Derby, etc., etc. Surely the FA Cup is as important as, if not more important than those competitions. So if BBC and ITV still have those, why can't they have the? Why don't they keep the FA Cup? So it is symptomatic in many ways of how football itself is governed now.
I'd say the same thing.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Very sad.
It is, considering obviously the coverage they've given non-league clubs this year. I think only one round were we a little bit disappointed, weren't we, with the TV choices. And then the second round, they really went to town with it. But, you know, looking back to earlier this season when we had three clubs from Step 4 in the Isthmian South East League, all in the first round proper. And how many clubs had heard of Cray Valley before they pitched up at Charlton? How many people knew where Sheffy were? How many people were following Ramsgate? You know, it's really given non-league a bit of an identity this year, and you can just sort of see it being stripped away again over this new TV deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously we can't, I mean, if you look at the BT and now TNT deal with the National League, yeah, it's great. It's great that, you know, that BT as it was then took the plunge and backed the National League system. But at the end of the day, it's still not free to air. So the exposure isn't what it could be had terrestrial TV did the same. But
I
it
think
has
you've.
been a real bumpy.
Sorry, I was just going to say you've hit a real point there because obviously all these big TV deals comes down to finances, etc., etc. BT taking on sort of National League, etc. There's an opportunity for the terrestrial channels because it wouldn't probably cost them that much to take on non-league football.
Absolutely, it's had such a shocking. So the from Maidstone at Ipswich was on terrestrial TV. So non-league football, as you say, Trev, had a real shot in the arm this winter. It would be a good time. I don't know when the TNT deal ends, but you're right, Pete. It would be good. You look at what's happening with the Women's Super League. That gets terrestrial exposure. Why can't non-league football? And even if it was the red button, even if it was the BBC red button or something like that, or you've got ITV 1, 2, 3, and 4. There has to be room in the schedules for some non-league football, and it would get a lot of people involved. But who are we to come up with ideas like that, eh?
They've paid 66 million quid for that FA Cup deal.
Over how many years?
4 years.
It's not a lot, really, is it?
You're telling me that the BBC and ITV can't club together that much money to keep it exclusive?
Peanuts, peanuts. It just goes to prove, guys, the FA Cup, it's just been diluted. You look at the next round, it's midweek. It's
Midweek, yeah,
yeah.
precisely. So it's a competition that is no longer seen by the footballing higher echelons as something that's worthwhile.
And it's all been watered down since. I'll never forget it. It was when Man United pulled out of it, wasn't it? Ever
Yes.
since then, it's been watered down and watered down and yeah. I think that was the start of the death knell for me, for the FA Cup.
Yeah,
Just when,
nothing to do with me.
yeah, just when it's had a shot in the arm, with non-league, with Maidstone, and that comes up, it's sad, it's sad. But anyway.
It is. But let's move on to the two FA competitions that we still get plenty of coverage from, especially from the non-league paper. The FA Vars and Trophy quarterfinal draws were last Monday. I'm hoping one of you three actually has them to hand because I've left the non-league paper in the living room. Good lad. Now, if I'm right, the FA Vars completed their last 32 games at the weekend, so they've now got the eight clubs remaining, haven't they?
Yeah, I haven't had that one. I didn't have that one. Here you go. Yeah.
And Dealtown, former winners, still in it. Travel to Lincoln United
Yep.
on the
Go on.
way.
And get the other three fixtures.
I'm not that good, Gaz. I'm not that good.
You
I
got
can even.
North Greenford United against Romford.
Yes.
Worcester City against AFC Emley.
Yep.
And then Great Wakering Rovers against Falmouth Town.
So Falmouth had a cracking result. We mentioned them a few weeks ago, didn't we? They chartered their own jet to fly to Jersey and knocked out the Jersey Bulls
Oh,
on
yeah.
the way through. And I think the one that probably sticks out a little bit, Worcester top of their division, I think. If I'm right, they've only lost one or two league games this year, and North Greenford against Romford's another cracking tie as well. But you're getting to the point now where you can really sense non-league days coming, really coming round the corner fast. And if we have a look at the trophy as well, what tie stands out?
I think Bromley versus Barnet is a second and
Absolutely.
third, and Barnet away again,
Yeah,
away from home.
I think saw a stat on Twitter from Kirk Raymond, one of our management team, and I think we've had something like three home ties in 23 cup games in the last 2 to 3 years,
I
which
saw that as
is
well. I think that was the numbers.
horrendous draw, horrendous we've had. So if we make it to Wembley this time around, haven't half done it the hard way again, but there's still some good sides left in there. And as we record on Monday, there's still two ties to take place on the Tuesday, which have both had their venues switched thanks to waterlogged pitches.
Fancy Gateshead this year for the trophy. I think that's something that they're going to focus on. They've got a home draw, haven't they?
They got home draw, yeah. We're quite
Against
glad we avoided going to Gateshead again.
Peterborough
So,
Sports.
yeah, I fancy Gateshead turning Peterborough Sports over.
They got the experience as well, Gateshead. Is it last year? Were they there?
Yeah,
Yeah,
last
Gateshead
year,
last year? Yeah.
they play a very good brand of football, and I don't know. I just to get through Peterborough, which I they should, and I can't see an upset there. I really can't. I would, and in the Vars, Emley have. I'm going to keep an eye on Emley. They've just beaten Wickham in the last 16, and that was a big win for Emley. That, so I'm going to keep an eye on them and as they move forward.
And if I'm right, Gaz, there's going to be a non-step one side guaranteed in the semi-finals, isn't there?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out who was what because I'm just on Google. So yeah, Macclesfield are there, and I'm guessing they're going to be playing either Stortford or Colville Town.
Yep, who replay on the Tuesday night, which has been moved to Averley as well. So those ties are not till the 9th of March, so I think we record again before we actually get the quarterfinals played. So we won't
You do.
actually need to talk about them the next time round. So there we go. That's the FA competitions tied up and out the way. Now, I've had a lot of managerial changes as per the norm, and a few ground shares we want to talk our way through as well, with some interesting bits and pieces that have come up. We'll start with Eastleigh, who dispensed with the services of Richard Hill on Saturday after losing to Ebbsfleet, who incidentally announced Danny Searle as their new manager during the week last week after two draws in his first two games. We've seen Kelvin Davis come in already this afternoon before we recorded, less than 48 hours after Hill was given the bullet. Now, we've seen in the past that likes of David Unsworth coming in, Phil Brown his spell at Southend when he was there a couple of years ago, that not having the knowledge of the National League seems to cause people a few problems. But why is that? What's so
Because
different?
the National League is it's a completely different ball game, isn't it? I think we I was speaking to you about it this afternoon, and I just obviously I want him to do well, but I can't see it happening in the slightest. He's got no man. The only management experience he's got is caretaker at Southampton. And that's
I
it.
mean, go on.
That's it. That's it. That was all I had to say.
No, fair enough. I mean, I was going to say, similar to Woking going for Michael Doyle as well. I like the fact clubs are thinking outside the box and not just getting the names that have done it before. They've been out of a job only a few months at a previous club. But all of these guys are obviously coming in because the clubs are in trouble. Danny Searle's got the experience with Aldershot before, where he did a reasonable job. He's been out and managed in Ireland and the Czech Republic in the meantime, and now come back. But Michael Dawes has experience as an assistant at Notts County, but these guys have got to hit the ground running. But have they got enough to be able to do that to get these clubs out of trouble and into the positions they should be in?
No, I can't see it working. I mean, you're right. The thing about the National League is we see it time after time. It's basically League Three, but it's not just that. There's a lot. It's still in some ways part time or hybrid, and it's a different animal. It's a completely different. And we've talked about part time, full time in previous podcasts, and you've got all these different scenarios, these different clubs with different models. And it's just a completely different animal. If you haven't got the experience of it, you can easily get caught up in what you think is going to happen in games. But the teams you're up against are completely different to what you've expected and what you've experienced in previous competitions if you've been in the Football League. So Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's, I don't think it'll work. Sometimes players are a fit, sometimes players fit, and sometimes they don't. I don't see this as a fit.
I mean, Pete's sitting there nice and quiet because he's probably glad that Adam Hinchwood has not been tapped up.
Well,
For
you're
this one.
trying to wind me up on Saturday night on the way home.
Oh, mate, I was trying to wind you up again this afternoon as well, but you've lost your phone, so.
But I mean, the thing is, when managers do well as well, they're always going to get talked about for jobs that come up, however secure they are in anywhere else, which I think is a measure of what they've done and achieved so far. Hinch wouldn't have probably been the only one that possibly his name might have been mentioned, but excuse me, I think the fact that Kelvin Davis is in within 48 hours as well, sort of suggests that it was on the cards. I mean, Eastleigh had no wins in nine. They haven't won a league game since the 23rd of December, which tells you everything you need to know as well. But he's got a tough start, Kelvin Davis. I was having a look at it earlier, and I'm trying to remember now who he's playing. I know he's got Oldham. He's got Oxford City on the Tuesday night away from home, who are bottom, which is a
Yeah.
massive win.
Bromley.
And
Bromley
yeah,
Saturday.
that's it, Bromley on TNT as well. Oxford City, the only side to concede more goals than Eastleigh so far. So I'm expecting something like a 5-all draw on Tuesday evening because neither side can clearly defend. So we'll see. We'll see how far that one goes in that respect. I don't think we've had any other changes, have we, in the
No, you've spoken about both of them.
three divisions? That's
No.
just been it. So, Tamworth, Chris. No
Yeah.
goals conceded since December. What? Why? Why can no one score against them?
We did. South Shields did, but it was a 1-0. It was a 1-0er. They are superbly well organised. It's where you've got. We've just touched upon, whether you are a fit for a certain club or a certain division. And everything at the club just fits. They've come up from the lower league, and they've got it. They're just so well drilled. They're well organized. What they're doing, they're grinding out 1-0s and 0-0s, and it's theirs to lose now. It really, really is their league to lose. So they are just superbly well drilled. They took, we broke, we finally broke them down back in November, and boy, it was a tough, tough night. Tough, tough night. They're a great side. They're not gonna bamboozle you with fantastic football, real flair, but they're just good at what they do, and it really is their league to lose. If you look at the league table, Scunthorpe have dropped points, and they haven't. And if they have, Scunthorpe have dropped them as well. So yeah, they're a very, very good unit.
So 12,
14 points
yeah.
difference between the two. Oh,
Yeah.
12, sorry, yeah, 12. My maths
Well,
is bad.
and Scunthorpe, that's if Scunthorpe win the game in hand as well. And Scunthorpe are at our place tomorrow night, Tuesday night. So you'll know by the time you listen to this, you'll know the results. So Shields could make a real dent in the title race tomorrow night. They're just a very well-drilled side, Tamworth. And it's an old Sam Allardyce thing. You start a game with a point, and if you don't concede, you'll at least get a point.
Did you expect to
And
sort of drop off a little bit though when Jamie Jealous left for Walsall in the window last month?
yeah, slightly, a little, but I've just, if you look at that, is it 19 goals conceded? Is it 19?
Yeah, 19. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Hmm.
Like in 30 odd games, just truly phenomenal.
Yeah, especially that level. I mean, and in the North Division as well, Chris, everyone beats each other quite regularly, don't they, as well, with how
We
tight
do
it is in
indeed.
that middle bit. So be that
Yeah.
Buccleuch is really good testament. I think Andy Peake's first season at that level as well, isn't it?
It is, and you just got to hope that there isn't another COVID, otherwise if it gets null and voided.
Imagine that. Imagine that.
Yeah, man.
So we're going to move on now to clubs and ground sharing. I've never been a massive fan myself, literally because I saw Maidstone go bust from selling their own ground and moving 20 mile up the road to Dartford back in the late 1980s. And funny enough, when I moved down to Sussex, it was one thing that Sussex never entertained, and they really softened their stance over the last few years as well. But the last week and a bit, we've seen a couple of clubs having a little bit of a move around, and we'll focus on Welling United, who currently ground share themselves with Erith and Belvedere, and we've seen some plans come out this last couple of days, haven't we, gents, that are moving well in, not just a few miles up the road, but probably a good 45 minutes to an hour journey to their home games next year. So what we think in the future is going to look like for Welling United?
Cool.
Less fans.
Let's fans,
Well,
yeah.
yeah.
Look at South Shields had no ground for 2 years and had to play their games at Peter Lee, which was, I think, 18 miles, I think it is. And crowds went from several hundred to, in some cases, less than 50. So there you go. That's what happened.
And Pete, you're due there, aren't you? Tomorrow evening on Tuesday is Worthing head to
Yep.
Welling.
Yeah, I'll
First
be there
visit.
tomorrow. No, I've been to Welling before.
But could be your last.
Is it Welling's ground?
Yes.
So why are Welling going and there's no, I haven't read anything about Erith and Belvedere going either.
What? Well, Erith and Belvedere are staying put. If you haven't been to Parkview Road, obviously Pete
I
and
haven't
myself
been.
have. Erith and Belvedere have their own stand, changing rooms, club room area, and everything on one side of the ground, which they put in when they moved in, when they sold their own
Right.
ground.
Okay.
Welling have obviously their main stand on the other side with their changing rooms and everything else that's incorporated around there. As far as I'm aware, their changing rooms are in a state of disrepair, and they're actually using Erith's changing rooms. We were up there in the FA Trophy 2 Saturdays ago. I knew that was the case, but I think the main stand as well has got to a point where it's not been quite condemned, but it needs a lot of work to bring it up to National League South standards again. Because Erith are only at step four, and
Wait a minute.
in likelihood they might drop back down to step five again at the end of the season, that ground would be good enough for them to
Right, okay.
use. So Welling as well, in moving out, need to move to a ground that's at least National League South standard if they don't get relegated this year. So that ruled out Cray Valley Paper Mill, and I think Phoenix Sports were two others that people have mentioned because they're both at step four at the moment.
Yeah.
Cray Valley, I imagine, is probably just about manageable for step three next year. Bromley said Bromley wanted too much money. Ebbsfleet and Dartford both said no. I
Bromley
was.
can't refuse. Can't, surely Bromley can't afford to be picky if they're losing the money they're getting from Cray.
I don't think that, they're quite well bankrolled. I don't think they really
Okay.
need the money. I was slightly surprised Dartford said no, because when Maidstone folded, having ended up owning Dartford's Watling Street ground, Dartford managed to start the season and started it at Parkview Road. They only completed, I think, three games that season before they folded because they couldn't carry on. And obviously Welling doing them a favour. I know this is back in the early 1990s. I thought Dartford might have returned the favour, but clearly they don't want to. So then trying to find a ground that is then up to standards has pushed them all the way down to Tunbridge, which is a heck of a
It's
journey.
a long way, isn't
On the plus side, they're not going to get the games called off because it's on a 3G,
it?
but do you want that amount of travel for a home game, let alone, anywhere else the rest of the season? You're literally traveling for 46 games.
Gonna make you think twice.
Yeah. I mean, for us home games, it's an opportunity, particularly on a Saturday. You know, you're going to have a few beers, you're going to have this, you're going to have that. But if you have to travel like that, which often would mean the car, you can't have any beers, and it would put you off the right people. It would make you think twice. And if everybody's thinking like that, you can at least knock 40% off your gate.
Yeah, I mean they have plans to redevelop it with flats, I'm assuming, alongside where the main stand is. There's a bit of land there, which I'm assuming is what's going to then help pay for the development of the ground on that side as well.
That's what I was looking at, because I was trying to cast my memory back to when it was
Yeah.
there. And because behind the stand, Welling stand,
Yep.
there's a big metal fence, and it's not very far away from the actual stand. So I was
No.
like, where are they finding the room
Haven't a clue. Haven't a clue. I mean,
for the housing?
yeah.
Because you're
I mean,
thinking the housing will bring income in.
yeah.
But I'm like, is there something else going on here? Because I didn't see the land for that many houses and a
There
football ground.
isn't. I think it's just going to be literally flat block that's going to fit literally like a tunnel alongside where it is, but that strip of land is going to be what makes it, and as part of that stand gets redeveloped, the changing rooms then get done, everything looks rosy, but the rest of the ground itself does need a little bit more to it. Whether it's still at National League standard, I don't quite know. I wouldn't have said so personally. I've been going to Parkview Road since I was growing up. My dad used to take me there quite often to watch games. And to be honest, when I went last Saturday, the first time for probably good on 20 years, and I don't think much of it changed at all in that
And
time.
unless they're going to do what is it East Thurrock, where they got the housing's going to be like those container
It
sheds
could be, couldn't it? Yeah.
piled on top of each other.
Yeah.
Never forget commentating there. I was on the stairway, and someone's right behind me watching Coronation Street. It was their house, this container. It's like, what's going on here?
I mean, we all know at times it's quite a struggle for a lot of non-league clubs as well. We'll pick up on Kingstonian as well, who have just had a nomadic existence since AFC Wimbledon bought Kings Meadow off of them, and they're on the move again next year. I think it's to Chipstead. I think they've been showing Tooting and Mitcham this year. I have a feeling it's Chipstead.
Just having a look.
Which actually their move has caused their manager Simon Lane to quit last week as well.
Raynes Park.
Raynes Park, sorry. I know, I think they looked at Chipstead or someone else was going there. I can't remember who it was, but they've had such, again, a club loses its identity or tends to a little bit when it moves ground as well. And when you're ground sharing, you haven't got the income, and it's hard to get yourselves back into the area that you were in. How much does it lose from, not just from a financial point of view, but from a generational point of view of spectators as well?
I mean, I don't know, but I imagine if you looked at Kingstonian's average attendance over the last 15 years, I can imagine it's gone down.
And then and moving everything lock, stock and barrel to a different ground every 2, 3 years as well. I mean, you also see a lot of clubs that move into a ground share just to achieve promotion as well. But there's no basis they've got anywhere, which then allows them to keep moving that progress up. Is it something that maybe the FA, the leagues have to look at, and what's the not try and suppose it in a way discourage it from happening, but how do some clubs progress without being in their own area?
It's
Very
got to be,
difficult.
yeah, very, very
Got to
difficult.
be. It's
You need your base, don't you?
But look at MK Dons. We go all the way back there. It's Wimbledon. becomes it's almost it almost becomes like franchisees, like franchises,
Yeah.
like with American sport, the Las Vegas Raiders, Los Angeles Raiders, Oakland Raiders. It's a franchise. It's as if like clubs are just going to go and well, we'll just move here and we'll just move there. And
MK
there's no,
Dons.
yeah. There's no soul. There's no soul.
You are souls, but they're souls.
Yeah. Well,
I just had a quick look over the last three seasons. Kingstonians' average attendance gone from 313 down to 223.
Yeah, story in
And
itself, isn't it?
in the last 3 years,
They're struggling as well, aren't they?
yeah,
Yeah, bottom of the league, yeah.
they got the second lowest attendance in the league behind Wingate and Finchley.
It's like, how do you find a way around it? Because there are so many clubs ground sharing these days as well, that at some point the sustainability, once they reach a certain level in the pyramid, is gonna run out. So are we gonna see in even a short 2 to 5 years' time that some clubs are gonna disappear because they haven't got that base?
Yes, they'll disappear, but then they'll come back as a phoenix at a level where they don't have to have those facilities, and they'll play on something just above park level. The other problem with ground sharing, of course, is the state of the pitches. Can pitches cope with the extra footfall on them? In terms of grass, I mean the 4Gs will be fine, but
Well,
there's also
yeah, you mentioned that, Chris, because obviously in our league we've got Truro sharing with Taunton, and that and Taunton's pitch can't hold water, so
no.
the amount of postponements going on at the moment is absolutely
I
ridiculous.
don't think there's been a
So,
game there for about 4 weeks, is there?
no, easily.
No, no.
So they're still going to be playing in August to get these games on. I don't know how they're going to do it if it stays as wet as it has been. So a lot of thought didn't go into that one, I don't think.
What happened with Truro and Plymouth
Parkway,
Parkway?
the pitch. Same problem there, the pitch.
I'm guessing Torquay and Weymouth both said no, so I'm sure they'll be a little bit closer.
They've done Torquay before.
Have they?
Yeah. And then I think they went to Torquay, then they moved back home again to Truro, and then moved back out again. And then again, a little bit like Kingstonian, in not such a grand scale, but they've had a little bit of a nomadic existence again, traipsing around grounds, which has probably cost them a lot more money than if they'd have stayed put. I don't know if the leagues or the FA need to be a bit tougher on clubs and say, look, unless you've got a sound business plan that you will be back where you should be within no more than 5 years, then you've got to stay put. You can't allow it to. It's pizzas. You get to the situation you've got at Taunton, where Truro are trying to play on a pitch that Taunton can't even play on, and the season's got to be finished by the end of April, ready for playoffs. It's, I mean, to be fair, you could find in April, if you live in Taunton, you could go and watch a game every night of the week from Saturday through to the following Saturday, and have Sunday off and start again because there'd be so much to play.
It's like a
Would
groundhopper's wet dream, isn't
it? Except without the groundhop.
Without the groundhopping, yeah.
Well,
It's like in the Northern League, in the Northeast, Mark Carruthers did a bit of maths the other day, and there are two clubs in the Northern League set up who've got to play every 3.2 days between now and the scheduled end of the season to get their games in. And that is if there are no more postponements either, which will not happen. There's got to be more postponements because of the fact that the pitches are absolutely saturated. Up here, the amount of flooded fields is just, I've never seen anything like it. So, in fact, the Northern League have just applied today to the FA to try and get the season extended because every club is behind, and two of them have to Most clubs will have to play between every 4 and 5 days, but two of them have got to play every 3.2. And one of them is Jarrow FC in the Northern League Second Division. They haven't had a home game since October.
Jesus. That's crazy, isn't it? And again, that sort of thing as well doesn't help income and expenditures, does it?
Not at all. The amount of water we've had up here, that it's just been incessant. So, yeah, no home game since the 3rd week of October.
I think when I was having a look at it earlier, Chris, as well, Division One, 230 games have been played. By now, it should have been 280. So there's still 150 fixtures to complete. And in Division Two, 290 have been played. 320 should have been completed, with 172 still to be played. And we're a week from the end of Feb.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So it's, and until the sun gets higher during the day, there's no way of getting these pitches dried out. We only need a couple of hours of rain and they're gone again.
Is it down to not just the weather, but are there too many cup competitions up there? Was there not enough fixtures in that first 8 to 12 weeks of the season?
Perhaps, if I'm honest, I didn't look at the early program, but the usual cup competitions have been scrapped. So there's no League Cup this year now. They've scrapped it. But obviously, look at Wickham, who got to the last 16 of the VARs. They've had postponements through that. There's a lot of clubs got to the last 32, so when now you're supposed to be playing catch up on your fixtures, you can't because the pitches are just so saturated. I suppose there's going to have to come a point where, and this is it's another argument about money not drip feeding down from the higher levels. Football authorities are going to have to help clubs get drainage in because it's too expensive to just put 4G pitches everywhere. Clubs haven't got the money to do that. But drainage, decent drainage, is a lot cheaper than 4G. And if I can put some drainage in, and you've got a better chance at least, it's going to need investment. Otherwise, we're going to get this every year. Without investment, there's going to be this problem every year, as we seem to get periods of, heavier rain. I'm not going to go into the global warming thing. It's a football podcast, but this is, we're going to see this more often.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I think it's what I'm trying to get at.
And we've discussed it before ourselves, not mentioning the beginning part of the season,
Yeah.
where you get a game each week for like the first 6 weeks, or maybe just one midweek thrown in. Like, well, there's plenty of time there to use
Yes.
to get games on. So the league have got to look at, top loading the beginning of the season. And then if there is a few postponements, then you can recover from it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like you say, Chris, if you're playing every 3.2 days, there was a team last season, wasn't it? Was it Cheshunt? Cheshunt who had some stupid run of.
Yeah, somebody had quite a long. Yeah, it might have been Concord actually as well,
It
because
was
we've got the
Concord.
same
It was,
problem
sorry,
this year. Yeah.
it was Concord, sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
But
Yeah.
they had a stupid run of games.
Yeah, same again this
Yeah.
year. Yeah.
I think
It's funny
if
though, because
you
it sounds like you two have been reading the program columns I've written today, because my point was exactly this on drainage and front loading the season as well. But also within that, why not make some of the cup competitions the last week of pre-season, so that week actually means something when you're tuning yourself up to start, and that takes a couple of weeks out in these first 3 months when you could be fitting league games in.
Agreed. The other thing, if you started your league campaigns a week earlier, you could also have one extra free weekend for the FA competition. So where you have in the Vars and the Trophy, the relevant leagues have a free Saturday for the first and second round. If you started a week early, you could perhaps have the third round or the equivalent free. And then it means that clubs who are already out of competitions could perhaps rearrange games far more easily if they haven't got fixtures already in. And it just might just take that bit pressure off, because it generally, when you get long cup runs and bad weather, it's a recipe for disaster. And this is where the Northern League in particular, because they've had a decent FA Vars this year, and clubs are now, well, in the shit basically, aren't they? I mean, poor Jarrow, haven't had a home game since October. Just ridiculous.
They've still played two more games than Wickham have played in
I
total. They've only
know.
played 20 games.
Yeah, Wickham, because of their, got to the last 16 of the VAR.
Yeah.
So,
Crazy.
and their pitch, the drainage at Wickham at the Glebe, isn't great, and it's also a shared ground. It's a cricket ground as well. So it all just it's all going to go a little bit Pete Tong, I think, because if Wickham, they're trying to extend league seasons, well, the cricket season starts normally second, third week of April. So,
No one cares about cricket.
hey,
Christmas.
disturbing.
It sounds like we need some ground chairs up there, I think. Don't we? Anyway, good luck to those clubs that are going to be playing every 3.2 days. If there's any groundhoppers knocking around that want a northern trip, in a few weeks'
Yes.
time, I think they're going to get a week's worth, aren't they?
They
As
are indeed.
it goes. So, yeah, good luck to them, especially at least the weather's not been too bad down here for the last few weeks. We've managed to get some football in, even not just on the 3Gs as well. But Pete, you can talk some worthing as you've not been here for 7 months.
But
Pete.
it hasn't been that long. Git. There's only one thing I need to say about Worthing, isn't there?
Ollie Pearce,
Ollie
the holy
Pearce.
words.
Ollie Pearce scored in his last nine games in a row, 17 goals in those nine games, and
Blimey.
he's now up 32 for the season.
He's scored nearly half of all of Worthing's goals all season in the league, hasn't he?
I think we scored 74.
72. I had a quick look a second ago. 72, I think. The only team to
73.
score more is Chesterfield in the whole National League.
Yeah, in the whole English leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Chesterfield first, Worthing second. But it's madness. If you want entertainment, 6-4 against Dover, four and then 4-1 the weekend against Weymouth. Obviously down to 10 men after 15. Yeah, it's entertaining.
Can I ask a
You can't
question,
take your
Pete?
eyes off it. Go on, ask me a question.
They're sending off on Saturday.
Which
I
one?
watched it
Which one? Which one?
Livesey Austin, is
Livesey
it?
Austin, yeah.
Just put him off
Right.
soon. Yeah.
Right. I saw watched it on the highlights, and I watched it three or four times. And for me, it didn't even look like he touched him on the highlights.
Right.
Was it a bad tackle? Was it?
I don't know if you've been to Weymouth. But
No.
we're in their main stand, which is very tall,
Yeah.
and we were right at the back of it.
Okay.
So, well, I didn't get the best view, but I was speaking to a Weymouth fan at half time, and he said, "No way on earth is that a red card." He said, "Possibly a yellow, but yellow at most."
I mean, he went flying in, but it genuinely looked like he was nowhere near him.
Yeah,
So that's
I looked at it and I was a bit unsure, but like I interviewed Gary Alfie after the our defensive coach, and he said the thing is, you go to ground these days, you're giving the referee a decision, and that was the referee's decision. So yeah, and then
Just it didn't
Hinshel,
look it for me. So and then Hinshel got sent off as well, didn't he? So
Hinch got sent off, and then
cool.
Cole got sent off as well.
I didn't, yeah.
Where's the consistency suddenly come from, Pete? Because obviously we saw, 2 or 3 months ago that there'd be a cracking home result, and then they're going to be 4 leagues away from home. But they seem to have ironed out all those issues.
I think it's in defence mainly. Obviously, Jeffries came in for Southampton in goal, and you saw a bit more confidence in the defence, in my opinion, because at times before, defenders were a bit tentative to go back to the goalkeeper at times.
I understand that.
I think there was just a bit more confidence. And then obviously he's brought Alfie Young back from Ramsgate, was it?
Ramsgate, yeah.
So he's brought Alfie Young back in, played for us for seasons before he left under a bit of a cloud. Don't know what happened there, but he's back, which is a good thing a few seasons later. And obviously we've got Didon Farge in. He's been very good. And old Jack Wadden got him in as well after Ricky Aguilar went. But everything looks rosy. I think we've scored 30 goals in 10 games.
It's not bad going, is it?
So if you want entertainment, if you want entertainment, you know where to come.
I was at the Dover game, and I think obviously Pete does commentary in there. I think I'm going to probably be a little bit more blunt. I thought when Jeffries got injured, if he hadn't have got injured, I think it'd probably have been 6 or 7 nil.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, unfortunately, Rocco Reeves, a goalkeeper, would do a good turn and. At another club, but I don't think he's right for Worthing, which is a shame. I know Pete probably can't say that, but I'll say it as someone who's watched Worthing for 20 odd years and doesn't really have an affiliation to going there. I don't think he was good enough. He's good enough to play there. And he was at fault for the first goal, certainly. The free kick that he conceded was, I don't know if you guys have seen the highlights, but was,
Yes.
I think as a goalkeeper, if that's the first thing you've got to do when you come on the pitch, and you make that sort of mistake, you're on for a. You're getting your own head in that situation.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think that Dover game for definitely. I think it'd have been maybe 6-1, 6-0. I think the goalkeeper really helps the back four because it's a young back four now, isn't it? Now pretty well, fairly young back four now. Aaron's sort of retired. Aaron Racine. So I think I think. Having, yes, it's a young goalkeeper. It's a young goalkeeper from a championship side, top of the championship, aren't they? Second. I think the goalkeeper makes a big difference. I don't think the defence trusts Rocco as much as they necessarily should.
That's quite diplomatically put.
I could have been really blunt, and normal guys would be really blunt, but I don't want him to like maybe. I'm not saying he does listen to us, but if he does, I don't want him to think that I'm bashing him. But I don't think that he's the right fit for Worthing. There we go.
That's a game of opinions, isn't it? At the end of the day, and that's what football's built on. And at least on something like a podcast, you can have a sensible debate about it as well. Pete, if the season finished tomorrow and the playoffs started, who would you fear most playing out of the sides that are sitting in the other places at the moment?
Chelmsford.
Okay, I agree with that. What about Bath?
I don't fear Bath. No,
Okay.
they're a good team. They should have beat Yeovil. I watched them. I think it was about got to be about 6 weeks ago now. Against Yeovil, and they were well on top against Yeovil, and Yeovil, sneaked a 1-0 win. So Bath are a good team. They've got some good players, but I'm sort of speak to their commentator quite a bit, and He's dreading coming here.
Oh, bless him. Oh, so yeah, it's on TNT as well, isn't it? In next month as well. That should be a really good game, actually. That's probably one of the best games they could have picked for TV, I think.
Yeah, it should be a real good game because obviously we've done them twice. We've done them in the FA Cup and we've done them at their place. I think it was 3-0 at their place, if I remember
Off the
rightly.
top of my head, yes.
And I can't remember the FA Cup score now. But we've done them in the Cup. So we've got two results against them this season. So hopefully we'll be able to get the third. And hopefully, yeah, the new stand will be open as well.
Ooh,
As
very exciting.
it depends on the weather. Because obviously,
Doesn't everything?
there's a lot of concrete to go down, so it depends on the weather. But hopefully, Keith, the general manager, is hoping to push the timetable a week forward to get it completed for TV.
Brilliant stuff, Chris.
So any groundhoppers, get down there.
Yeah,
Sunday the 25th
Fifth,
of March,
fifth,
25th of March, I want to say. Yeah,
yes, on a Sunday as well, so you can go to the game and have a
no
bonus.
excuse. Go to church and then down to the other church at
Sure.
Woodside. Chris, Southfield
Yeah.
steal Darlington 4. What on earth happened?
Robert Briggs got sent off in the 10th minute, and
Oh, you can't use it. Our player got sent off.
But we played well in the first half. We were well organized, and second half just a bit different. We didn't seem to get going at all. And once they get a goal, it's tough after that. It was just one of those days. You've got to put it behind you. We went down to nine men for the last 10 minutes. Get that sending off was a shocker. No way, not even a yellow card. Awful refereeing decision, purely because the player, the Darlington player, you'd thought he'd been shot in the back. His reaction was a disgrace to football, and he got a kid sent off. A Darlington player, whilst all this was going on, a Darlington player came over and had a drink next to the dugouts and said to our lads, it wasn't even a foul. It was he, and but having watched the highlights, well, actually, Will, who got sent off, he showed me the footage, and he clearly wins the ball. It was a good tackle. I hope they appeal. They might not, but I hope they do because we've got good grounds for appeal. And Cedric Mayne scores against South Shields again. It was written in the stars, as they say. But it's as we say, football's a funny old game. We go to Gloucester, one of the longest journeys of the season, get a great 5-0 win,
Yeah.
having drawn with Scarborough the week before and played very well, and having beaten Hereford, you then go to Alfreton and you concede early and you dominate the game on a difficult pitch, but the final third it wasn't there. And on Saturday, it was just one of those days. But you just move on. I'm still confident that we're going to be okay. We might make the playoffs. We've got obviously Scunthorpe tomorrow night, Tuesday night, which is going to be a humdinger. Really looking forward to that. And then we're down to Banbury on Saturday, Oxfordshire, National League North, and down to Oxfordshire we go. And that's a game we're going to. Ronnie and I are going to be commentating on that. So looking forward to that one because we're going to stay overnight. So we're looking forward to that. But the problem is at South Shields that we've brought Jordan Hunter back on loan from Gateshead. John Lafoudre has gone on loan to Spennymoor. Jordy Mongoy has gone on loan to Billericay. So those bits of business I've got no problem with. One of the problems though is the fact that the club is up for sale. And at the moment, it looks like Gary Liddell cannot play, our centre half, with over 500 Football League appearances behind him, can't play
It's a big loss, that, isn't
because,
it?
purely because if he plays another game, he triggers a clause in his contract which guarantees him another 12 months next season.
Oh.
And obviously, the club is up for sale, and it could be just part time next year where he's on a good full-time contract, but allegedly one of the highest earners at the club. So the club can't afford for that to kick in. So to be fair, Dylan Morse, the centre, has been fantastic since he's come in. He's been with the club for years now. He's been excellent. So it's a bit, it's oh, It's funny, well, actually, if you look at South Shields, that in a nutshell is the National League North this season. You win some, you lose some, and
Yeah.
that is why the league is the way it is. And after all of that, we're still just 3 points off the playoffs. So it's that's why I'm not getting too downhearted.
I was going to say that is the good thing about the North this year is that you can lose a game here, win a couple, and you just don't lose touch, do you, with that top bit?
You don't, but the other, for Darlington, I still think they'll go down. Yeah, they were only it was only 11v11 for 10 minutes, but in that 10 minutes, I thought no. And then Darlington took so long to break us down. They don't to me look don't they don't look as though they've got enough to stay up. Having watched everyone now, I don't think they've got enough to stay up. I think they will go down.
I think it's a massive week this week with the midweek fixtures as well. 9 points. I mean, Darlington have got, I think, Boston at home tomorrow night or away. They've definitely got Boston anyway. They pick up 3 points there and then another three next Saturday. And all of a sudden, you've got 9 out of 9. And it does become a little bit of a different story, doesn't it? It's a big
It
ask,
does.
but it can happen.
It can happen. I can't see it. I don't think they've got. I don't think that. I'd like to be proved wrong because I want the Northeast clubs to. We need the National League North to be more northern, and all that's going to happen if Darlington got relegated, and you look at who's coming down from the National League, it's going to be even worse. It's going to be even more of a southern National League North. So, we want them to stay up, but I just can't see it. I don't think they've got enough.
So, other than Darlington, obviously Bishop Stortford have gone as well.
Yeah,
Put
well, I
your
mean.
money on being the other two to go.
Gloucester, without a doubt. Ooh, the other one. Toss up between King's Lynn and Southport. Ooh, difficult. I need to think. Ask me again next time.
Okay, that'll be the next question for
Southport.
James to ask in 2 weeks if he's not flying
Southport.
around.
I'm going to say Southport.
Yeah. We got pelters, Ronnie and I, because. When we commentated, I've said it before, they were the worst team we've seen this season. But they're out of the at the moment, they're out of the relegation zone. If they remained as bad as they were that day, they were for me bankers to go down. But I don't know, they've picked up a little bit.
Other than
The
the bottom
team,
two, their goal difference is shocking.
yeah, I mean
They've
Kings Lynn,
conceded.
oh. No, mate, they've
I
conceded,
was going to say
yeah.
they've conceded 61 goals this season.
Yeah, understandably so. They're in my view, a poor side. And are there four worse teams than them? There are definitely three just as poor. Whether there's a fourth, I don't know. Kings Lynn, because they're full time, aren't they? Kings Lynn, so
Yeah.
you'd think they might have enough, but it. Yeah, I think we need another two or three fixtures just to sort the wheat from the chaff.
Four teams have got to finish in the bottom four, and you never want it to be your team, but there's got to be four in there. And they like
That's
making
right.
predictions at the beginning of the season. People are like,
Yeah.
we're not going to finish in the bottom four. Maybe you won't, but I've got to pick four teams to finish there, and I don't
That's right.
fancy the other 20, I'm afraid. Sorry. That's how
I
it
mean,
goes.
Gloucester and Bishops are nailed on. Nailed on to go down. I mean, Bishops want to go down. They
Yeah.
need to get back local. And I think Gloucester would do well to go back local again because they've gone from full time to part time and haven't dealt with it well. They need to go down a level to get used to part time at a part time level. So I think it would be good for their long term future for both those clubs to go down for at least a year. But the others, I mean, it could be catastrophic for Kings Lynn. Who were a year ago, looking to try and get into the National League itself again. And so it's going to be a very interesting 2 or 3 weeks.
It is, isn't it? Well, like Worthing, Barnet are on for a 9-point week at the moment until it comes to probably Tuesday night and we don't get one at Aldershot. But we had a nice 4-2 win at Fylde on Saturday, considering their good form at the moment, and they thumped Aldershot 5-0 during the week as well. And then, ironically, I watched Aldershot play Altrincham on Saturday night, and Altrincham didn't do very much in the second half. Aldershot scored twice just before half time as well, but deserved their win and a good response to their 5-0 loss as well. But it's getting tight at the bottom of the National League as well. Bar Oxford City are a little bit adrift at the moment. Everyone wants to keep winning games down there as well.
Do, but it's a very southern looking bottom, isn't it?
Yeah, Oxford, was it Ebbsfleet, Woking, and Kiddie? Is
Livingston.
it Kiddie at the moment? Yeah, Kiddie at the moment, yeah.
So it's gonna make the might be one or two more very disappointed southern clubs come July.
Yeah, imagine
Very
that again.
disappointing.
Oh, could be Oxford City in the north next year.
Yeah.
Potentially, couldn't it?
And
So.
obviously, then you've got Oxford City, you've got Banbury, Oxfordshire.
Yeah.
It's going to be bizarre, but it'll take. I've said before, it'll probably take about 10 years for it to sort out as you get some of the northern clubs coming up, some of the northeast clubs in particular. Because if you look at the Northern Premier League, Radcliffe are running away, so they're going to go into National League North. But if you look at who's coming down from the National League, it's quite a, but Trev, what news today for Barnet FC?
Yeah, we're going home sometime eventually
Really?
soon. I know, very much out of the blue. At midday on Monday, the club released a statement from Tony to announce that for the last 4 years since the COVID season, he's been in talks with the council of building a new home back in Barnet, exactly in the same spot as we wanted to be before we left, which is extremely ironic in a fashion. So, who knows? 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, however long it's going to take to get the plan application through and build it. And a 6 to 8,000 seat stadium at South Underhill, where we always wanted to be.
Have trouble filling that
Fantastic,
one.
B, to be a B.
I heard that,
I'm
Pete.
good at this, aren't I? I'm here all week. Sorry, Gaz, go on.
I just heard what Pete said. I have trouble filling that
Yeah, we probably will, do you know? And
as
I had a some Chesterfield fan had a pop in one of the National League groups.
Saw
And I can't remember what I put back to him, but who cares?
I
Well
tell you
done.
what, the best thing to come out of today was I'd actually seen you stuff for words. You actually were like, you were quiet for a minute. You didn't really know what to
Well,
say.
well, no, because the no one knew that was coming. No one at all. I know a lot of people that know a lot of people within the club. I know a lot of people within the club. A lot of my friends get the same information as me, and none of us had an inkling that that was coming out today. You know, we've been gone from the Hive, sorry, from Barnet for 10 years. You know, as much as everyone loved Underhill, it was far easier for me to get to. The journey up to this new one will be slightly easier. From where I am, but you couldn't keep putting sticky plasters over everything that went wrong at the Hive and just chuck more money after it. So the move needed to happen. People weren't happy with it. He's always maintained, Tony, that you find me a site in Barnet that we can build on. If I get planning permission, back we go. Simple as that. So, we were just discussing actually before we came on air to record. He's been chair at the club 30 years, which in anyone's book is just a massive amount of time for any man to spend running a football club. So if it becomes his final legacy and sells the club on from that, then he's taken his time, but he has delivered on his promise. So we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. But looks rather impressive. No, we ain't going to fill it with 6 to 8,000. But do you know what? I don't really care. I like having space.
Trev, you might not fill it, but you've got a better chance of getting a few more in.
Yeah, there's people even now. A lot of people have come back this season that had previously never entered the Hive. They were that adamant about not going, literally because of what Dean and his team have put together on the pitch over the last 2 years that people have brought back into it. There's people that have drifted away to watch Hadley, and a couple of other clubs that are still around the Barnet area as well. So whether it will actually attract them back again, I don't know. Who knows? Depends what he calls it. If he calls it Cleanthes Towers, then there might be a few people that take a bit of umbrage to that. But might be the Amazon Stadium or something like that. Who knows?
Stadium TK.
Stadium TK. Yeah, you know what? That really wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't. So yeah, my phones, everything's been blowing up all day when something like that comes out that's just completely out of the blue and unexpected and whatnot. So how I actually managed to get any work done today, I've got absolutely no idea, but there we go. Hopefully we'll turn into 3 points at Aldershot on Tuesday and another 3 points on Saturday as well. But right, we're getting towards the end of the show, but I think Gaz, you've got one or two shout outs, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Croydon?
Oh
Oh
yeah,
yeah,
sorry.
here we
I'm
go. The
here. I'm
light
back in a
bulb's
room, back in a
on.
room. Yeah. Oh man, my mind has gone blank.
Shall I refresh it for you?
Yeah, you can give it a shout
Ryan Hall,
Ryan Hall, that's
2
it.
0.31 seconds, the fastest goal
Yeah.
everywhere, ever, we believe, don't we?
Yeah, a non-league apparently.
In
Fastest
non-league.
goal in a non-league. Looked like quite a good one as well from the video. That
Yeah, it
was in
was. Yeah. No, my first thought when I saw it was why have more clubs not done that?
Yeah. It
Especially
was
wind assisted.
they do try. I've seen it. I've seen loads
I
of times.
yeah, to be honest, I'm really surprised it doesn't happen a lot more. I really am. 90% are going to clear the bar, but that 10% be a worldie, isn't it?
The other way, if you look at it another way, if you do hit it over the bar, the opposition have got a goal kick and you're in their final third. So rather than faff about and it normally starts with a pass here and a pass there and it goes out for a throw, the opposition are on the back foot.
Sounds like
And you can all,
replicating Tim Flowers football here.
yeah, and you can then start your high press without any energy being dropped whatsoever. Yep.
Absolutely. Anything else, Gaz, with your light bulb on now?
Farnham Town, Farnham Town.
Farnham Town.
Still
You love Farnham Town.
unbeaten in the league this season.
After how many wins?
Twenty-three
23 from 23.
from 23. Told you.
Okay. There we go. What would you do without your little auto cue prompt, eh?
I'll be honest with you, I've sat with a bag of Milky Bar and a bottle of water. I've got no notes or anything around me tonight.
Boy knows how to live, doesn't he?
Everything I've given has been a quick Google search before I do it. And you put me on the spot. So, yeah.
Well, as we were mentioning Farnham, though, we need to also mention Cray Valley is still unbeaten in the Isthmian South East Division, which I'm just about to pull up some stats. I think they played 25. I think Steve McKimson, they've still not lost an away league game yet. And there is.
25, play 118, drawn 7.
There we go. And there is also one other, if I can find who they are. I really should have taken a picture the other day when I saw it, but.
I found the third one. It's Hanworthy Recreation, who are third in the Wessex League Division One at step six. They're not top of the league, however, despite not tasting defeat yet, but they've got four games in hand on both Downton and Millbrook. They're a point behind Millbrook and 2 points behind Downton. So. There are our three unbeaten sides left in the non-league game.
Any other shout-outs, Pete, Chris?
Shout out, I'm going to give a shout out to Radcliffe in the Northern Premier League. They're doing so well. I'm delighted for them. Good club, some good folk, but in the backroom team, and they clearly got it. They've got it right. They know the league inside out. They've been at that level for several years, and I'm delighted to see it's coming to fruition for them. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll see them in the National League North next season.
Hey, anything?
Oh yeah, can we? Because it's partially for charity. Can we get the Rebel Yell T-shirt out there?
You can get the Rebel Yell t-shirt out there. Off you go. Get it out
Yeah,
there.
it's a con in conjunction with the Two Faced Twins who are artists in Worthing. If you go on Rebel Yell's Twitter, you'll find the picture of it. But it's a new sort of football shirt with the. It's quite loud.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, picture of the pier, Worthing Pier on it, obviously because of Worthing fans have got the Pier of the Year song when we go anywhere up north, because most of these places haven't got a pier, so if you think Pier of the Year, you'll never sing that. So we think Rebel Yell, and a part of the money that we raise is going to the Worthing Food Foundation, and you can buy them online at rebelyell.live if anyone. Like I say, it's a limited edition shirt. So, and I know James and his Oppo Spencer have put a lot of work and effort into it. So, yeah, we're trying to raise some money as well as everything else. So that's it.
Fantastic.
Brilliant stuff. Great stuff, Pete. Chris, what have you got? What have you got on next couple of weeks, game wise?
So tomorrow, Tuesday, home to Scunthorpe United, should be a cracker. Saturday down to Banbury. We're going to have a Ronnie, myself, and my two lads are going to have a nice overnight stay in Banbury.
Nice.
Go down Saturday morning and then come back Sunday. So looking forward. I should be a, never been to Banbury before. Never been to Banbury United before.
It's nice,
So
Banbury.
yeah, and we are back.
You
So it's going to be.
taking a wife.
That's because the wives are away. The wives are away themselves, so we're taking the opportunity to do this. So it's just boys on tour, I guess.
I've
Can we
got
see some
really.
video diaries, please?
I know the address of a strip club, Chris, so I'll send it to
That don't surprise me either.
Unfortunately, my youngest son's only 17, and well,
You'll be all
bless
right.
him. That's what fake IDs are for, isn't
Exactly.
it? Don't condone
Brilliant.
that. Don't condone that.
Don't condone that.
It's...
Pete.
I think I could cope with a pair of breasts at 17, so I'm sure I can.
We're talking games, not tits.
Oh, sorry. Where am I going Saturday? We're at home against Braintree,
Ooh, that's a
who we beat
biggie.
in the playoff semi last year.
Pete's
So.
got semi.
Yeah, and they done us at their place 4-0, didn't they?
Yes,
Mm-hmm.
revenge
Earlier
on the cards.
in the season, a few teams done us 4-0 away, but less said about that. But we're second in the table, so well,
Can't ask for more than that.
water under the.
Gaz, you're going to
Yep,
get spotted at a game tomorrow night, aren't you? On
I am.
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday
At a
night,
proper game.
a relegation 6-pointer. I'll have you know.
Which is?
Eastbourne versus Havant and Waterlooville.
Lovely.
Ooh,
Cracker.
I think having working with Eastbourne Borough, I think they're all hoping that they get. They believe that one result will just sort of kick them on a little bit. They were hopeful against Chelmsford at the weekend, probably a little bit over where they should be. But I think, yeah, I fancy them tomorrow. So. I'm going to go and taste the burger that I'm selling them every week. So,
No food poisoning Wednesday morning.
no, blame
Saturday?
myself. I haven't decided yet. I told you the other day, I literally decided on a Thursday or a Friday
Oh,
where they're
yeah.
going.
Yeah, you did actually. Yeah.
But
Yeah,
if
I
you
did
tell me where
do
you're going, I might tell you whether I'm going there as well or
that.
not. We'll avoid it.
Yeah, I'll try. Well, I'm at Aldershot Tuesday night for Barnet. Saturday at the moment, potentially Dorking and Ebbsfleet. Potentially, I may end up somewhere else. I haven't really decided, so I've thought I'd look around. Unbeaten Farnham are at home, so that is a possibility. And I did look for Abbey Rangers because of the burger, but they're
Yeah.
away.
Oh.
And then next Tuesday, we host the champions elect Chesterfield at the
Right.
Hive. So,
Oh, lovely.
mini crisis for them too, without a win. It's
Ooh.
looking a bit dodgy up there for
I'm on a
them.
half day next Tuesday.
Oh
It's
yeah,
tough at the top.
it is tough at the top. And no idea the Saturday after that. I can't think where I am. No idea. No idea. And then we're back to recording again. So all of
Yeah.
us out of games apart from James. Never mind.
If
Anyway.
he was dedicated to the non-league cause, he'd find a non-league game in whatever country he's shacked up in.
You would hope so. You would hope so. Yeah. Wherever the hell he is in the world, James, find a non-league game, please.
And if you're in the States, we class the MLS as a non-league game.
So rude. Anyway, that's it from the four of us this evening. Thank you very much for listening. Please share the pod around. Follow us on Twitter or on X, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, Instagram. I don't know what else
No
it
one calls it
is, but
X. It calls all Twitter
they
still.
don't do that. Yeah, everyone calls it
No.
Twitter because it still is a tweet and
I
it's
know.
not a
It's so
repost
annoying
or a
because
quote.
people say, oh, it's, and they say on the news things, on X, formerly known as Twitter. On
Yeah.
X, formerly known as Twitter. I just call it bloody Twitter, and
It's,
everyone knows
yeah,
about it.
precisely. Precisely. You'll find us all on there. So from Chris, Gaz, Pete, and myself, we'll
Night.
see you in 2 weeks' time.
Bye bye.
Cheerio.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.